This is Cleveland Boys. We got Nate. I'm Jordan, and we got Murph. We're going to talk about sports betting. We're going to talk all things sports. Right now, we got the NBA playoffs starting. We got Vols baseball kicking butt all over the SEC. And we're going to talk a little bit of golf because the big cat Tiger Woods is coming back. How you guys doing tonight?
Yeah, I'm doing good, man. How are you, Nate?
I'm good, besides the Hawks being down 2-1.
Yeah, that's a good segue into our first segment now. Let's talk about that series a little, Nate. You're a Hawks fan over here. How are you feeling?
Well, I feel like if we get Trae Young some help, I'd feel a lot better, but we can't get him no help, so I feel really bad. I'm just glad we didn't honestly get swept this series, to be honest.
Yeah, I was kind of worried for y'all. I'm not gonna lie. The other night, when we were on the phone. They were down like what 20,
Yeah.
and checked on Instagram later, and it said Trae Young hit the game winner. I was like, oh crap! Like, all right,
Yeah.
Trae Young's a bucket.
He is
he
a
is.
bucket.
Ice Trae's built different.
I just wish we can get him some help. I mean, like, John Collins is, I guess, what you could say, so-called his help. But, like, he's been hurt half the season. That's why our record's so bad. Plus, we're playing the best defense in the league. Like, it's super hard to score on that defense.
Second best, but yeah.
No, we're going to go first
Who do you think the first best is?
The team dominating the Nets right now.
Please. The only reason they're dominating the Nets, though, is because the Nets don't have no one besides KD and Kyrie.
Well, you're not wrong, but it's
It's
still a good
easy.
defense.
It's easy to guard two players, though. You
Is it
got
though?
two on five?
Yeah, but you got Slim Shady out here.
Oh, my God.
Daniel Tice. Oh, my
Slim
God.
Shady.
Slim Shady. Two German Slim Shady.
Oh, please.
That's the new. We're Tice advocates over here.
Nate, what do you give the Hawks' chances of coming back in the series and winning it?
Like none.
0%.
Like I'll be happy if we win two in Atlanta. Like I'll be ecstatic because the second we go back to Miami for game five, oh, it's gonna be a
Got you.
That's
Got you.
fair. That's fair.
So you think you can get this next one in Atlanta?
Maybe. And I'm saying Trae Young's gonna have to have the game of his life. Like I need New York Trae coming out.
So even if it's 2-2, you still think there's zero chance you guys are winning?
I just don't see us winning a game in Miami. I mean, if it goes to a game seven, that'd be a hell of a series, and I'd be happy with that going
That's
out
true.
first round. But I just don't see us winning Miami, and I'm really honestly not seeing us winning this next game.
I respect it.
All right, the second series we are going to talk about Philly Toronto. Philly's already up 3-1 in that series. Toronto stole one today, but how we see that series going now that Joel has a torn ligament? Like, is it going to make a difference? In all honesty,
No, the first game back in Philly, they're going to win it.
Next game, it's over.
I agree. And maybe Scotty Barnes plays again and helps a little bit, but
And maybe OG Anunoby doesn't go 3 for 20.
that's a fair point.
If you guys like to bet, I'd put everything you own on the 76ers winning this next game.
That's bold.
I would.
Bold. I
It's over. It's over after
I
this
agree
game.
with you. I'm not arguing. All right, so we'll just get on past that since we're in consensus that it's over.
No doubt.
Milwaukee up 2-1 on Chicago, but a very convincing win in Chicago last night.
Yeah, that was kind of crazy. I was surprised even Chicago got a dub in game two in Milwaukee, to be honest with you, because Milwaukee's like home base is it is it's loud, obviously, because they just won the world or the finals last year. So the fact that Chicago can win one game in game two, that was crazy.
Oh, I could see the Bucks going to the finals again.
Oh, I can 100% too.
Giannis,
But
he's
I gotta see Chris
unbelievable.
Middleton come back though.
Bold take. They're better without Chris Middleton.
You think?
Yeah.
Why you say
It
that?
forces Giannis to be the guy. He doesn't have
That's
Chris
true.
Middleton to bail him out. Not
Yeah.
that he needs bailed out, but like he's got to score 30.
Yeah.
He
Makes
puts
him
his
more
head down.
aggressive.
Yeah, he plays way more aggressive.
I can see that.
And Grayson Allen's averaging a measly 17 and a half points a game without Chris Middleton in the
Yeah,
lineup.
that is true.
Bobby Portis and Brooke Lopez both had great games. Like they're longer, more athletic, I think. Helps them defensively.
What was Middleton averaging?
He's averaging about 18 a game. So
18.
they're getting the
Same
same,
thing.
roughly the same production with Grayson Allen.
I got you. Yeah, you just Giannis has to be aggressive. I think that's one. So you guys think the Bucks are easily gonna win?
I wouldn't say easily. I'd say like game six, maybe. I see maybe Chicago getting one more dub, and it'd probably be in Chicago.
It's gonna take another crazy DeMar game, and
Zach
it's
LaVine.
just it's
Yeah.
hard when Giannis is his primary defender. for him to get buckets.
I see that.
Yeah.
Giannis just has too much length for DeMar.
Yeah.
I think the Bucks win these next two and close it out.
I can see that.
I can see that too.
All right, we'll save the Boston-Brooklyn series because I know that might be a fun topic. So let's skip on over to Phoenix-New Orleans. Phoenix is up 2-1. No Devin Booker.
What happened to him?
So he, last report I saw was a strained hamstring, which is 2 to 4 weeks usually. Knowing Devin Booker, he'll probably be back in a week if I was guessing.
Yeah.
Chris Paul just had a 24-point, 14-assist, 0-turnover game. Like, doesn't seem like they're missing D-Book too much. Pelicans are still also, on the younger side, trying to learn.
Also, with DeAndre Ayton being a beast like he is, like he has developed so well ever since he came into the league. Like he's an animal.
Do y'all think the Jackson Hayes ejection played into DeAndre having a big game last night, or you think that's just going to be commonplace with Devin Booker out?
I think Jackson Hayes could have made it quite a bit of a different game, but I don't think it would have like completely shut down DeAndre just because of how big and how much bigger and stronger he is than Jackson Hayes. Jackson Hayes is like a twig out there, and DeAndre Ayton's a whole unit out there.
Yeah, DeAndre Ayton came into the league a grown man.
Yeah, he did.
Who would they play? Who would the Suns play after this series?
The winner of Dallas, Utah, which is our next series. That series is now tied 2-2. Luka's back. Utah barely won today on a last second alley-oop from Donovan Mitchell to who else but Rudy Gobert. He only passed to twice a game.
That hurt me and Nate a lot.
Lost money off that game, to be honest with you. Not going to lie.
Responsibly.
Yeah, responsibly.
We're not going broke, but it did hurt my feelings a little bit seeing that. But hopefully we'll get it back soon.
Yeah.
So I was scrolling through Twitter the other day, and I saw this wonderful stat, probably on Stat Muse. You know, they always come out with the craziest stuff. But Donovan Mitchell only averages 2.3 passes, not assists, passes to Rudy Gobert per game. He averages 3.2 turnovers. Donovan Mitchell, on average, is throwing the ball to the other team more than he throws the ball to Rudy Gobert.
Jeez.
Is that a problem for Utah? Like,
I just think that, like, as good of a player Rudy is, like, on defense, like, I don't want him with the ball in his hands in crunch time. Unless it's like an oop like today happened.
We've never seen it. Like, he's pretty good with the ball in his hands in Olympic play.
But if you foul him in clutch time, he's not going to hit his free throws.
Yeah, he shot at 50% today and missed.
50%.
Like, honestly, if that was someone else like Donovan Mitchell or Mike Conley at the line, this game wouldn't have even been a game coming down to the last wire.
So, like, can you trust him in late games? I know his defense is good, but in late games, they could easily, just like they used to do with Shaq, just foul him.
True.
So, like, how would you, Murph, coach that?
From the coaching aspect and the pace of play in the NBA nowadays with all the take fouls and everything like that, I think it's pretty easy. I'm not going to say easy because nothing in the NBA is easy, but it's easier than in the past to do offensive and defensive substitutions. I think Rudy Gobert provides a ton defensively, unless teams go super small like the Warriors do. He provides that rim protector presence that few other teams can match. So I think it's hard to not have him on that team and expect them to be as good as they are.
I agree with that 100% because for the past 5 minutes, the last 5 minutes of the whole game, all you saw Dallas throw up was threes or contested pull-ups. Like, it was not going to the hole because he had 150-something blocks this year in the regular season and blew it out of the water. Like, I wouldn't want to drive down in the paint on someone that big either. Like, that would scare the shit out of me.
I just want to go on record and say Rudy got snubbed for the Defensive Player of the Year.
Mm.
Marcus Smart, yes, he's good and feisty and gets under people's skin. But the stats, Rudy almost has close to double of steals and blocks than Marcus Smart has. So, like, I understand his presence. You could argue his presence is more, I guess. But I could argue, look at the stats. He's so much better. He has at least 30 more blocks and 30 more or 30 more steals.
I agree with that. But you could also go back to, like, early 2000s, like LeBron. Like, he could have won the MVP race every year, but it's like, who wants to go see the MVP win it 9 years in a row?
That's true.
Well, not only that, but you got to look at team success, and all that plays in a factor nowadays. And The fact of it comes down to Marcus Smart was the best defensive player on the number one rated defense in the NBA. I think that's why he ended up getting the nod at the end of the day.
Well, that and you don't have
that and voter fatigue.
Yeah, that, as I said, that's a real thing. You haven't seen, like, I know you have like Pat Bev and people like that on the perimeter, but like his presence is just so much different because you know whenever you have Marcus Smart on you, you're going to be struggling to get the ball, either getting the ball or trying to even drive or get a shot off. Like, I've never seen, like, me personally, I've never seen a more of a perimeter, like, defensive player like that since, like, Gary Payton, I'd say. Like, that dude was...
Gary Payton, Tony Allen, guys like that. Like,
exactly.
Cut from a different cloth, man.
Exactly. I think the only reason he didn't get it is because, like you guys were saying, you don't want to see the same guy get the same award every year.
Yeah.
But I just like how, say, it's in the finals, and the finals MVP... Say LeBron lost, and obviously he was the best player on the court. He wasn't going to get the MVP because they didn't win.
Right.
That's true. So I guess that's why.
Shout out Andre Iguodala.
Yeah, Andre Iguodala saved that series MVP.
See, I don't understand why he got finals MVP. LeBron still averaged, what, 35?
Yeah, 30
yeah,
plus.
No, yeah, it was crazy.
What, he stopped him from getting 40 each game?
I was really surprised. Obviously, like, you have to give it to the winning team. I was really surprised. Cause I know Steph didn't show up in that series till like, game three when he had to show up. But I was really surprised that Steph did not get that award for finals MVP that year, in my opinion.
It was rigged.
Yeah. But
speaking of Steph and Iguodala and the Warriors, they're up 3-0 on... Jokic, who's about to become the first MVP to lose in the or get swept in the first round of a playoff series. Mm-hmm. Do we hold that against him? Like, he hasn't had a single player on his team score 20 points other than himself.
Yeah. I mean, he had 37 or not. Like,
right.
What are you supposed to do? Like, what else are you supposed to do? I mean, it hurts that you don't have Jamal Murray out there. Like, that dude's a bucket. Obviously, playoff time, he's a really good, like...
It depends on if we're talking regular Jamal Murray or leaked Instagram video Jamal Murray.
That's true. But, I mean...
Murph coming in with the hot stuff right now.
He is.
I see.
I'm just saying, though, like, having a consistent shooter out there or even creating space for Jokic to get a shot off. Like, you don't have that right now because...
I don't even take it against him, though. I just take it as the Warriors are just that good.
The improvement of Jordan Poole has been night and day from last season. I think not having Steph play much last year, having Klay out all year, like, he had to step into a bigger role way, way sooner than they expected. And that, like, that stunted his growth. Like, he's been exceptional ever since. He handles pressure well, shoots it at a high clip. And then you throw those other two guys back out there, and he's shooting open jumpers instead of contested jumpers.
Yes, and you have guys like, I know Andrew Wiggins hasn't been the most consistent player in the playoffs so far, but like you can count on him to go get a bucket every once in a while. Like,
oh, he could easily go get 20.
Yeah,
if you needed him to.
Yeah,
look at their
All-Star starter Andrew Wiggins. Let's put some respect on his name.
I mean, look at their starting lineup though, Steph. Well, Steph's not starting right now, but he normally is a starter.
Greatest six man of all time, Steph Curry.
Steph Curry.
You got Steph, you got Klay, you got Jordan Poole, Andrew Wiggins, and Draymond Green.
Yeah, that closing lineup is deadly.
It is. It's scary.
I mean, how can you compete with it, honestly? I honestly see them going to the finals again.
I think we're all in agreement that's a sweep in the first round.
Oh, yeah. Easy.
Oh, 100%, right. Yeah.
One of the most exciting series that I don't think many people, like if you would have told people 5 years ago that Memphis and Minnesota was 2-1 in the first round of the playoffs, I think you would get a lot of weird looks. But that game's been pretty exciting, or those games have been pretty exciting so far.
Especially the last one, whenever Memphis was down 27 and came back and won the game.
Let's talk about Karl Anthony Towns for a second. He wants to be in the same conversation with Jokic and Embiid as one of the best centers in the NBA. Yet, he's putting up more fouls than made baskets in every single game they've played.
The past two games, I think I saw this right, he's only took 11 shots combined both games.
He has more fouls.
Like that is insane. That's insane to me that – you want to be in this superstar, one of the best centers, and you're shooting 11 times combined in two games.
Yeah. That's insane.
You can't throw yourself in the conversation with Embiid when Embiid's averaging like 31, 32 points a game. Hitting game winner like at the buzzer. Like, whenever you're shooting 11 times in a series compared to Joel Embiid going out there and getting buckets with a torn ligament in his thumb. Like, this man's buckets. Like, he's a big body, and you're going to throw yourself in that same conversation. I just don't think you can.
No.
So, thinking back about it, Jimmy Butler, when he was on the Timberwolves, we all assumed Andrew Wiggins was the problem. And now Andrew Wiggins is having a very successful year, very efficient year on the Warriors, which I get that culture is one thing, but like, then you look at Karl Anthony Towns, who now that the games matter has just disappeared to second year Anthony Edwards, who is looking like the real deal.
Yeah.
But yeah, second year player coming over and taking over your franchise when you're supposed to be probably a top two greatest player in franchise history.
Yeah.
Like, I'm kind of out on Karl Anthony Towns ever being a winner.
No.
He's a good basketball player when games don't matter.
Yeah. I agree with you guys. I think he wants to be at that top level, but he's not there. The pressure of the playoffs and everything is just crumbling him. Just like Draymond Green said in his press conference the other day, some guys, they're built for the regular season, and some guys just aren't built for the playoffs. And I think that's one of the guys he was talking about.
Exactly. I agree with that 100%. Because, I mean, and not to put it down on Cat, it's like he just doesn't want to – he doesn't have that like that Mamba mentality where he wants to go out and get buckets. Like, he's just – I think he really just wants to be out there for, like, rebounds and, like, if he can get a put back, like, pick and roll, just stuff like that. And obviously, we know he can shoot. He can shoot very well. But it's like he's not even wanting to take those shots whenever it's in a pick and roll or pick and pop. You know what I mean? So, like, I just don't see how he's like, I don't know. I don't get how you're going to let a second-year Anthony Edwards drop 38 and you feel like you should take the pride for that whenever you didn't do shit for that game.
Oh, right now, late game, there's no way I let him shoot the last shot.
No, there's no chance.
Because he proves the rest of the game he doesn't want it. Like, if you shoot 11 times in two games, that's just not you not being aggressive.
Yep.
But I don't know.
All right, now the fun series.
Yeah.
Brooklyn-Boston. This was supposed to be Brooklyn's year. Everybody's healthy. Harden. Supposed to be everybody healthy. Like, this Harden, Kyrie, KD, first time we really get to see them. And then Harden forces his way out. Ben Simmons comes in. Haven't seen any of him yet this year. He's got the back issues, whatever. And as we're talking, Brooklyn just went down 3-0. Ben Simmons is supposed to be back next game, but it's going to take, like, big, big games from Kyrie and KD for four straight games to even have a chance in this series.
I agree with that 100%. Like, the defense that Boston has is phenomenal. Like, you don't see KD struggle much with defenses. Especially man-on-man defense. I know you have double teams coming up on him, like, every time he touches the ball. But I've never seen one of the greatest scorers of all time struggle like this ever in a series. I could see in a game. Three straight games, though, I've never seen that before. That just shows you how good of a defense Boston has and how good they develop their players on defense.
This third game, I mean, I was really expecting Kevin Durant come out and show what he can do in the playoffs, and him shooting 11 times is crazy. If you're one of the top scorers in the NBA and want to be up there and arguably the best player in the NBA, you can't have a playoff game where you shoot 11 times and only have like 15 points. Like, you just can't do that. You got to be more aggressive. You got to even force shots, because he's good enough. He forced a couple shots and he can make them. Then it'll be a whole different ball game. He's just not being aggressive enough. I know he's getting double teamed, but he needs to be more in transition, find shots. It's just so forced, and he doesn't look comfortable out there, and it's really annoying, because I thought the Nets were gonna give Boston a series, but it doesn't look like it. Do you guys think that they're gonna get swept, or you think they're gonna win this next one?
I think they probably steal this next one. Hype's going to come back about Ben Simmons, and then game goes back to Boston, and it's a wrap.
I could see that, or I could really see a sweep. I could see either one of the two, because you don't know how good Ben Simmons is going to play.
I see it being a, I see it being, it's done. It's a sweep. I mean, even if they do win one game, it's over. They're not going to come back from 3-0. What do you guys think? You think Kevin Durant is going to stay in Brooklyn? I don't know what his contract is, but you know how he is. He kind of likes to jump ship and go different places. What do you guys think about that?
If I'm remembering correctly, he still has at least one more year on his contract. Kyrie, on the other hand, I believe is a free agent this summer. I think they're pretty much dead set on playing together because when they are on the court together, they might be the most skilled duo of all time. Mm. I think Tracy McGrady said that the other day. I don't think there's much rebuttal. Like, two of the greatest scorers we've ever seen, most skilled guys we've ever seen. So I think they run it back. I think they probably try and make a few more trades. I don't think they'll have the money to re-sign Drummond. I don't really think you can rely on Blake Griffin and LaMarcus Aldridge at this point in their careers.
Oh, no. Not a chance.
So I think they need to try and make a couple more moves. It'll help having Joe Harris back. That'll give you a little more floor spacing. Bruce Brown's really stepped up his game, but...
Yeah, Bruce Brown's... He's really gotten a lot better.
I'm afraid it's going to be at the expense of Steve Nash. I don't necessarily think it's his fault. We've not really seen what he can do as a coach because Kyrie and KD pretty much run the team as it is right now, and they're just playing with a bunch of veterans. So I think getting some younger guys that will come in on like cheaper contracts seems to be the best move for them moving forward.
I agree.
Because, I mean, you give a younger guy some opportunity and play time, you never know what's going to happen. I mean, look at Jordan Poole. He's balling out just like we said.
Peyton Pritchard. He has been balling out this series. Like, little white dude. Like,
they got young guys like Cam Thomas. He's only 20, 21 now.
Yeah.
If he can take a step over the summer and come in and give them production next year as that third, fourth scorer, maybe an energy guy off the bench, maybe play that Jordan Clarkson role, I think that would be a huge help for them.
That or see what they can do in the draft. I mean,
I'm not gonna lie. I don't know if they have draft picks.
Yeah, they probably don't because of all the trades they have made. But if they do have draft picks, maybe you can look in to see what you can get from the draft. But I think what Murph said, bringing in younger guys with cheaper contracts, you know, that could help with floor spacing, and people like Joe Harris coming back and everything. I think that's their best bet for next year because I just don't see it this year. They don't have enough depth. Their depth is awful.
It's just right now in the NBA and how it's been the past couple of years, if you don't go and get your super team or you don't go in free agent and try to sign another star player, then it's really not going to work out for you. That's how the NBA right now is. It's just super teams. It's just you get as much stars as you can and put them out there and see how it goes.
Yep.
I know it sucks that Ben Simmons hasn't got to play or whatever, but I don't know. I think they need at least one other good piece because I don't see – Ben Simmons coming out and spacing the floor out or nothing. I mean, defensively, he's going to help a lot. But, I mean, if you double-team KD and then, okay, say you let Kyrie go have 30 or 40 and KD only has 15, who else is going to bring you those extra points that you need? So, I mean, I don't know. I think they need to do a lot of changes. And I don't blame it on Steve Nash, but I do think they need a more veteran coach in there. And what I would really like to see is Mark Jackson in there. Because I know Steph and Draymond and Clay, they talk so good about Mark Jackson. And no one gives him a chance to do it. And I think if he comes in there, if the Nets give him the opportunity to come in there and coach, I think that Mark Jackson could really turn this Nets team around.
I agree with that 100% because, I mean, you got to think, yes, Steve Kerr came in. You know, first year. Was it first year and he won a finals?
Yeah, but you got to think, like, as Jordan was saying, I think this is where you're going with that. Mark Jackson built that.
That's what I'm saying. Like, he developed that team.
Developed the team, was a part of the draft process with all those guys, kind of set the foundation, and Steve Kerr was just able to take it to a new level. And I don't think that's a knock to Mark Jackson at all. Like, Mark Jackson's a great coach, and it's crazy to me that he hasn't had a chance anywhere else. Another name is recently fired coach Frank Vogel.
Mm-hmm.
Frank Vogel's a pretty good coach too. Like, he's got an NBA championship. He's had consistent teams every year he was in Indiana, mm-hmm. and he never had the star power that he had
no.
and like that he would have coaching Brooklyn.
Young Lance Stephenson, young Paul George.
Yeah, and that those teams were always super competitive.
I mean, they went to Game 6 and Game 7 every time Miami and them played. It was so good. It was so fun to watch that as a kid and watching Paul George develop into the player that he was. It was crazy.
No doubt. Since we said something about the Lakers, just a quick question for you guys. Just a quick question for you guys. Do you guys think LeBron will win another finals?
No.
There's not a chance.
I agree with you guys.
LeBron, man, I know we're not really LeBron fans, but it's hard not to appreciate his greatness. Like, he dominates every place he goes. He's just at that point in his career. Like, he didn't battle injuries for the first 15 years. And these last two seasons, he's only played a combined 100 out of 160 games, roughly. Yeah. Like, he's missing 30 games a year. And then you got Anthony Data Davis. Like,
yep.
Between the two, you can't have two stars that can't give you consistent time.
That and Russell Westbrook.
Yeah, Russell Westbrook.
I want to say that I love Russell Westbrook, and I was the biggest OKC fan when him and KD was there. Russell's just the type of guy that just needs the ball in his hands 24/7, and he's not able to do that whenever he has people like Carmelo and LeBron and Anthony Davis on the court with him. So he doesn't know how to create good shots for him whenever he thinks it's a good time to go out and score. You know what I mean? Like, obviously he's a triple-double machine. But at the same time, you got to think he's not touching the ball as much because he has people like LeBron James, Carmelo Anthony, Anthony Davis. Got star players like Malik Monk coming off the bench or starting in the starting lineup. Jalen Horton Tucker, he's developed into a great star, but he was not the same player whenever they were trying to play for their play-in. But I just don't think the Lakers is a good spot for Russell. Like, whenever he played at Washington, he gave glimpses of his old self with Bradley Beal. And then I think that was a really good place for him to be at with Bradley Beal. He just didn't have enough star talent.
I agree. Do we have any more series?
No, that's all the playoffs. So,
quick question for everybody. Let's see if we can get this right.
Let's hear it.
Who do you guys think win the finals this year? I say the Warriors.
I think it's hard not to put your money on the Warriors right now. They've just looked so dominant.
So you say Warriors too?
Yeah, as much as I want to say Boston off the defense, I think Golden State's just on another level right now.
Me personally, I don't know who wins it. I know who goes to the finals, though. It's going to be Golden State and Milwaukee.
Oh, you've been in the future?
I have. Yeah. I just see how.
Book it now. Take all your life earnings and put it on whatever two teams Nate Curry is about to say.
I said Golden State Warriors and Milwaukee Bucks.
And
don't do that because I'll suck at betting.
Plus 5,000 odds. Like, you'll make a crap ton and you can retire. Like, Nate called it right now.
And if you did that and you lose, you can blame it all on Nate Curry.
Don't listen to Murph though. Like, don't put all your money on that. I can see that.
He'll reimburse you for whatever your losses are.
But if you had to say right now, who do you think wins?
I'd say Golden State. You cannot stop them.
Yeah.
Steph Curry, Clay, Jordan Poole, Andrew Wiggins,
yeah.
Draymond. I just don't know who's – so say the Bucks do get there with the Warriors. Who's going to guard Giannis?
Draymond.
You think Draymond?
I think Draymond matches up well with Giannis. The only problem is you don't have big bodies to continuously throw at Giannis.
That's what I'm saying.
I mean, Kevon Looney does what he does. He's a good role player for that team, but they don't have – unless Wiseman comes back and proves to be some guy we've never seen before, like something that we've never seen out of him. It's just going to be tough.
Yeah, I agree with that as well. It's just, Giannis is just such a freak. I mean, he's legit called the Greek Freak. I don't see anybody really stopping him. That's why I'm saying Milwaukee Bucks is going to go to the finals. But I don't see how you stop the guard play. I know you have, like, really good guard perimeter, like, defensive players like Drew Holiday and stuff. But that's only, you don't have enough of those guys to stop people like Jordan Poole and Clay and Steph and Andrew Wiggins. Like, you only have one Drew Holiday. Yes, Chris Middleton is a pretty good defender himself, but
we don't even know if he'll be back. That's what I'm saying. Partial MCL spring tear or something.
Yeah,
I think Boston makes it to the finals.
I
could see that. I could see
Boston,
that too.
I think it's Boston, Golden State.
But that series, Boston, Milwaukee, that's going to be an amazing series to watch.
Are we locking it in now that Milwaukee's getting past Miami in the second
round? Oh, you got to include Miami too, though. I mean,
Miami's good, but
I might have that backwards.
Yeah, let's see real quick. Who is it?
No, you're right. Milwaukee would play Boston in the second round. Philly has Miami, assuming that all these teams win.
Yeah.
I think that series is going to be the best series to watch.
I can see that.
I can see that too. I mean, it was supposed to be this series with Boston and Brooklyn, but it's not turning out the way that everybody thought it would be. So, I mean, I could definitely see Boston and Milwaukee going to Game 7 down to the crunch time wire, whoever wins that game.
Yep, I see that. Well, that's all the NBA talk we got right here. What does everyone think about the Braves starting out so far?
Let's take a quick break, and then we'll talk about that.
All right, sounds good. Now let's switch over to the Braves, the World Series champs. I mean, Freddie leaving was upsetting, but last year I'll remember it for the rest of my life. I had a blast. What do you guys think about last year?
Man, hands down, the greatest rings I've ever seen. You got the rubies for each home run hit. You got the LED lights. You got the pearl.
Come on.
You got the inscription of we those. You know what?
We are those.
We are those. Correct.
It just sets a new bar for World Series rings, for championship rings in general. Mm-hmm. Like, I know the Tom Brady's Patriots and Bucks have had good rings, but whatever. I think we took it to a new level. That's not even talking baseball. That's just talking jewelry, man.
Yep. Mm-hmm. I think the Braves, I mean, we're starting off slow. But, I mean, I think we win the division for the fifth year in a row. And this is Matt Olson era. Honestly, I'm glad what Freddie did for us. I mean, he was a Brave. He will be a Brave for life. But, I mean, it just sucks how all that went down. But I just want to forget about it. And Matt Olson, it's Matt Olson era. We got him for another 8 years. I think he's going to be good. And I think in a couple years we'll forget Freddie even really was there because we'll be so glad we have Matt. What do you guys think?
Yeah, I can see that.
I can see, yeah.
Bittersweet moment watching Freddie's first career home run be against the Braves. But I feel like we're in a different reality watching Kenley Jansen close out the Dodgers with Freddie Freeman at bat. Like, that's so backwards in my head. But it's like that new era, like you said, it's time to embrace the Olsen era. It's Acuna's team now. Once he's healthy, seems like he'll be coming back pretty soon. Ozzie's going to be here for another 6 years. Like, we got a bright future, and we just won a World Series. So
Yeah, I definitely agree. We have a very bright future. We have a lot younger team. Like, Matt Olson's a lot younger than Freddie. I will say that it will be hard to get past the Freddie Freeman era for me because he's done so much for the corporation. And I am glad that with his last year, he did get to win the World Series with the Braves.
I agree with that.
And, like, that's the most best way you can finish off, you know, an era in Atlanta is to win a World Series with the team you've always played for. It does suck. He went to the Dodgers, but I'm glad that he won the one in Atlanta. But
no,
I am ready to move on to the Matt Olson era and it officially be Acuna's team. And like we have such a bright future, like our bullpen and our young team all around, like Dansby, Austin, Ozzie, Matt Olson coming in, Acuna, Duvall's young too. It's gonna be great.
Duvall's the youngest player, age of 34.
Yeah,
yeah.
But I mean, he plays like he's young.
He's still raking. He's young in his major league career. He's only been in the majors for 3-4 years now. After spending majority of his time in the minor league system for the Reds, really coming into his own as a baseball, like as a major league player. He's a Gold Glove winner,
power hitter.
I mean, had close to 40 home runs last year. Yep. I think it was.
That is just hot.
Yeah, I mean, we'll ride it as long as he can bring it.
I'm a fan. I'm glad. I'm ready. I'm ready for the Braves to get rolling. It's so early. It still doesn't even feel like it's baseball season, really. But I don't know, man. I'm fired up for it. Hopefully we can beat the Dodgers because I hate the Dodgers even more now.
I did too, 100%. Yeah, I hate them a lot more before because they used to beat us every year in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
Felt good to have that sweet victory last year and beating them.
But, oh, it was It was amazing. Hopefully Eddie can turn it around. He's struggling right now, but spring training being only a couple weeks to lock out, you never knew when you were going to get ready, and now they just threw you in there like, okay, you get to play a couple spring training games and we're starting. You better be ready. And it kind of sucks. I think after a month or two, everyone will start being normal and getting their groove and everything. So
I agree we'll with see that. How it goes. And you just know how Braves start out every year. We just don't start off very well.
Yep. Yeah, we always got to get that momentum. We have to get that stretch where we get hot, and hopefully we can get hot like we did last year at the right time.
It'll take some time to get adjusted to Rob Manfred's balls. Yeah,
he's been messing with his balls, man.
Yeah, we're in the game of baseball, man. Like, people want to see home runs, and we got a bunch of power strung through our lineup, and the balls just don't travel the way they used to.
Yeah, I agree.
So I think that'll take some getting used to. Holy crap! I just had a stroke. But once we do, like, I think we'll be fine. Like, we got good young pitchers that are going to get better over time. You got the veteran presence of Charlie Morton. Give some of his insight to those younger guys. Hopefully Soroka comes back and can be a shell of his former self.
Yeah. I'm very curious how he's going to be, because he's been out for, what, 2 years now?
Yeah, it's been 2 years.
It'll be interesting.
Because he only pitched, what, I think just 1 year, right?
One or two.
I know his last year he pitched, he was unbelievable. He was our ace. And then he tore his Achilles and then walked and was almost there and then tore it again, walking to the clubhouse, which was very upsetting. But, I mean, hopefully he can come out, and I don't expect him to be as good as he was, but I think he can get back to that level.
I think he can just come in and be our third starter and be consistent. Like, with Freed pitching the way he has been, Kyle Wright showed out this season so far. Anderson's taking steps. He's still trying to find that consistency. And then you got Charlie Morton. Like, Duke can bring it, especially when it matters.
Yep. I love what I saw from Kyle Wright last night. 11 strikeouts. I mean, he was shoving.
He was.
I mean, his career high in strikeouts, his past couple starts, he's been doing good. I feel like he always had the stuff. He always had the movement. He had the velocity. He just didn't have that confidence, and I feel like he just didn't know if he really belonged. But this year so far, he's proven to himself and everyone else that he does belong.
Yeah, I agree with that 100%.
But, I mean, it's a long season. We'll talk about it more in the upcoming podcasts and everything. But it's just, I'm fired up for baseball season, really. It's my favorite time.
It's good to get it started, get the ball rolling a little bit.
Yep.
Getting warm outside.
The March to October has started, boys.
Mm-hmm. Let's get another ring. Why not?
Yeah.
Might as well. Let's just set the standard of, like,
why not us?
Why not?
Why not us?
I mean, who would have thought last year? Couldn't be me.
So we're at about 40 minutes, so y'all want to take another break real quick, and then we'll hit that last topic and call it a night.
What's that? Okay, now we're going to switch to our last topic of golf. We just got through the Masters a couple weeks ago. Scottie Scheffler, he's been on a roll. I mean, it's been unbelievable. I think he's won, what, 5 out of his last 7 starts or something? And that's just unheard of. So, I mean, I think he's going to keep it up. He's such a likable guy. He's down to earth. He's a good family man and everything. So, he's just a very likable guy. And I'm excited to see where he can go with it. What do you guys think?
Hey, shout out Scottie Scheffler for winning me some money.
Scotty. No, like, the way that he's started playing these past 5 or 6 tournaments, it's been unbelievable. It's kind of like giving me a replay of, like, what Jordan Spieth did whenever he won his first Masters, and what he just carried on throughout the whole year. Like, it's insane how messed up his golf swing is.
Dear God.
And he won the Masters with it, but, like, what was it, like, 4 or 5 strokes?
Yeah, it was. He four-putted the last hole and still won easily. Yeah.
He four-putted the last hole and I think still won by 3.
Insane. Yeah.
So, I mean,
with a broken golf swing.
Yeah.
Like, if you ever have time, just look up his golf swing, and, like, it makes you want to throw up. It's the ugliest thing I've ever seen, but, I mean, what can what else to say? I mean,
I guess we haven't videoed your golf swing for you to see.
That's what I'm saying. I'm a 35, I'm a 35 handicap. Like, I blow cock at the game of golf. Who am I to say that his golf swing is ugly? I'm just saying it's not like the traditional golf
swing. It's not the Tiger Woods swing we're used to.
Exactly.
If you try to swing like him, you're, like, tearing your ACL, breaking your ankles.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, it's just very weird, but obviously it works because he's the number one player in the world right now.
Exactly. Just won the Masters. Gets to go to every Masters he ever wants to go to.
The rest of his life.
Yep.
It's just insane. We got the first major out of the way, the Masters. Tiger Woods came back and after his car wreck, and honestly, I gave him a 0% chance of even coming back. I didn't think he was going to. I thought he was going to come back for the Open at St. Andrews, because it's a flat golf course. It's not a lot of hills, because just with the father-son tournament he played in December, we saw that he could swing and he could hit the ball, but what he has to worry about is walking.
It's a walk. Yeah, 18 and
you could see that taking a toll on him during the Masters. Like, his first round was exceptional. It's for what all he's gone through.
Yep.
Having to basically relearn how to swing and put pressure on that leg. And then as the weekend went on, like, you could see it gradually start wearing on him having to go up and down those hills.
Yeah. You ever watched, like, his last round at the Masters in Augusta? I think every time he swung and he was walking, he had, like, a club in his hand as, like a cane.
Yeah, because
he was limping really bad. It's just exceptional that he even finished the whole round on Sunday itself.
It was just crazy that he just made the cut.
Oh, I know. Making the cut was insane. Like, how do you go from, like, oh, you may not live after this, oh, you may not have a leg after this, he gets through both of that?
This man is walking
Augusta 18 holes for 4 days straight.
It's just insane.
Playing
about
competitive golf.
Them literally a 50-50 chance, he says, about them having to cut his leg off, and he's not going to have a leg anymore. And then, 14 months later, he's playing in the Masters, and he makes the cut, and he beats guys like Brooks Koepka, Jordan Spieth, like top PGA Tour pros that have been playing for this past year when he's had to rehab, and he beats all those guys. It just shows that I believe he's the GOAT, and I think he'll be competitive in one of the majors this year. I think he's going to be in contention. I'm not going to say he's going to win, but I do think he's going to be in contention. And you better watch out because he's not done yet.
I know, like, we all know Tiger, and you know how much of a competitor he is. There's not a chance in my mind that he does not win one major. If not, and if he does not play another one, like another just, you know, not a major, just a minor tournament or whatever, that he wins one of those too.
Yep.
But I'm just saying for right here, for his first year coming back, I see him playing all four majors.
Yeah.
That's it.
He already committed to St. Andrews Open. He committed to that. The PGA Championship's coming up in the middle of May. He said he's going to try to play it, but he doesn't know if he's going to be able to, which in Tiger terms is if nothing crazy happens, he's going to play. So I see him making the cut again there. It's just hard to tell because he's such a private person. You never get to see him until that week, and you don't know how much stronger his leg's going to be. Because it really, I mean, he hit the golf ball good. What was crazy was he just couldn't putt. And he's like one of the best putters. And that's what he's been able to work on this whole time since he's been rehabbing, is putting. So it was just crazy to me. But if he can figure out putting and just tighten up his short game, I think he has a chance to contend this year, honestly.
And I don't think, honestly, his bad putting at the Masters is his fault. You got to realize Augusta is one of the hardest courses to play.
That's true.
Yes, you get to play it every year, and you kind of get the feel of it, especially him winning
five times
and going as many times as he's went. It's still tricky to play.
No doubt.
Like, you can never really honestly go to Augusta and feel like, oh, I'm gonna play it ridiculous today, because like wind conditions come into play, like, and just so many other different things come into play, especially at Augusta, where you have to walk up hills, walk down hills, having to do all these things and where the ball positioning is at and everything. Like, Augusta is a very hard course, and it's known for its course.
Yep.
So it's I wouldn't even blame that even on his putting. It's like the greens at Augusta are ridiculous.
He just hasn't been able to play competitive golf, and he was rusty.
Yeah.
I think it was a miracle for what he did, honestly.
Exactly.
But, I mean, I'm excited for what this year has to offer to him, and I'm just excited to see him play because that day when he got in the car wreck, we didn't even know if he was going to be alive.
Exactly.
And I'm just excited just to see him play. I mean, obviously, me being a Tiger fan, I would love to see him win, and I would love to see him beat Jack's record. But, I mean, if he doesn't, I'm still just as excited to just watch him play again because that's how much he means to the game of golf.
He's just the GOAT regardless. I mean, like, he was the GOAT before he even won 2019 Masters. And the fact that he went out there and won 2019 Masters, that was a crazy experience to watch. That's just like at Phil at the U.S. Mm-hmm. last year. Like that, like
PGA Phil, Championship. Yeah. Yep. We watched that together.
Yeah. That was the most insane thing I've ever seen. 51-year-old Phil Mickelson.
The oldest player ever to win a major. And I think Tiger saw that, and I feel like that fueled him because he's been beating Phil his whole career.
Yep.
I mean, without Tiger, Phil would have been arguably the GOAT.
Yep.
But Tiger was there.
Yep.
So, I mean, I think Tiger, he's so competitive, and I believe he's going to win at least one major. Do I think he's going to – because he has to win four more to beat Jack in majors. Do I think he's going to do that? I don't know, honestly, but I think he's going to win one more, and that 2019 Masters is just going to look like – I mean, it was amazing, but he's going to top it with this one.
Oh, 100%. I agree. It's just, like, the fact that, like, back in Jack's day, obviously, yes, there were good golfers. There were professionals mm-hmm. back in the day. But it's, like, Tiger made it cool
yeah.
whenever he was younger and winning all these tournaments or whatever. Yep. Like, everybody wanted to be like Tiger. So that's why you have people like Colin Morikawa. You have people like Justin Thomas out here. Like, they reflect they even, like, play the game of golf is because of Tiger.
Oh, you ask and anyone like, on tour, yeah. Hey, why did you start playing? Who was your favorite golfer? Everyone says, I started playing because I watched Tiger Woods win the Masters by 12 shots, and I was like, I want to be that guy.
Exactly.
All these young guys, they're looking up to him, and I think it's just amazing for them to get to be able to play with him, get to ask him questions, get to learn from him and everything. So I'm super excited about this just new era of Tiger Woods because I honestly thought we were never going to be able to see him again.
Yeah, and the fact that he even played in that father-son tournament with Charlie was phenomenal.
Oh, it was insane.
I mean, he drove in a golf cart, which obviously. But I'm just saying, like, the fact that he even played that and, like, played good with Charlie.
Yeah, let's talk real quick. How good do you guys think Charlie Woods is going to be?
Man, just – he's – how old?
I think he's 13 now.
13 and – dude, his swing is already just so beautiful.
It is the greatest golf swing I've ever seen.
He would whoop us.
Oh, 100%.
100%.
I mean, I think if us three played against him, and us three played a scramble, and he played his own ball, and this 13-year-old, he would beat us.
You know what's the crazy thing to me about it is? He has the same mentality as Tiger.
Yeah.
He sticks it 10 feet. With a wedge.
Yep.
He is just pissed. He is pissed. Like, you don't want it at 5 foot? Like,
yep.
Like, he's mad at himself that he can't get closer. I'm like,
then he's 13. Yeah.
Like, chill out on yourself. He's like, you can see it on his face. Like, he is so competitive, just like his dad is.
I just loved watching, like, I love watching that tournament because I just loved seeing both of them in the Sunday Red and how they walk the same, how they do the same motions, how they fist bump the same. I just think that's so cool about that tournament and how it all happens. And I think Charlie, if he wants to be, I think Tiger can show him how to be a good golfer. And if he wants it, just like Tiger did, I mean.
He has no excuse. He's as good as his dad. So,
I mean, we could see another Tiger, you know.
That's what I'm saying. I'm excited to see him play whenever he gets to play.
It's going to be insane.
It is.
I don't know,
I mean, and even from, like, last year's father-son tournament to this year's, like, yep. You can already tell, like, so many improvements that he has.
Oh, going down in the clutch on Sunday because they had a chance to win.
Yep.
And I think it was the 16th hole. It was a par 3. And Tiger hits it over the green. And Charlie comes up and hits it to 10 feet and they birdie.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, golly, that he knows that they have a chance to win this. And he steps up there and hits it, spins his club just like his dad. And it goes to 10 feet and he sinks the putt. Crazy. I mean, it's just insane because you're 13 years old. You got you're on TV. You know, you got fans watching. You know, people are cheering for you, and just have that mentality of just going up there and like acting like none of this is around you, and just zoning in and hitting that shot. I couldn't imagine doing that, and I'm 21.
That's what I'm saying. Could you imagine being a 13 year old and having all these expectations because you're Tiger's son?
And he's handling them good.
He's knocked it out of the park every time we have a question about it.
Oh yeah, it's insane.
He's phenomenal.
But I mean, I'm excited for. Hopefully, Tiger can play next month at the PGA. I mean, it's at a course he's won at 3 times, so he has good history there. But I mean, we'll just have to see if his leg is good enough for it.
I agree.
Let's take one last quick break, and then we'll close this out. Our little closing segment, it's kind of a thing that we want to do to end each pod. We're going to give a hot take. Each guy's going to give a quick reaction, and we'll call it a night. So I'm going to start this week. My hot take, Jazz loses this first-round series to the Mavericks. Off-season comes around. I think everybody expects Rudy Gobert to be the one to be traded. My hot take is it should be Donovan Mitchell. If I'm the Jazz, I'm calling the Portland Trailblazers phone right now, offering a package of, I threw this together on Trade Machine the other day, and it was, I think it was Donovan Mitchell, Eric Pascal, and Juancho Hernangómez for Dame Lillard and Josh Hart, and throw whatever picks you need in there from each side to make it work. But that gives Portland a young core of Anthony Simons, Keon Johnson, who showed flashes, Donovan Mitchell. You got young guys in there that can be the future, guys that know how to win, know how to make it in the playoffs. And then on the other end, Utah gets a bona fide superstar in Dame Lillard. So let's hear your thoughts about that.
You like really think this is going to happen?
No, probably not. But I think it's what should happen.
I got you. I just think Damian Lillard's not going to leave Portland.
Well, I don't think he has a no trade clause, so maybe.
Well, yeah, that's true.
Maybe they saw enough from Anthony Simons to say, "Hey, he's the future."
Do I want that to happen? Yes, I want Damian Lillard to get out of Portland because he has so much potential out of that place.
Question: how old is Damian Lillard?
31, maybe.
See, I feel like that'd be a huge risk.
Oh, it's definitely a risk, but you bring in a guy who.
But I feel like in the NBA right now, it's. You got to win now.
Right,
you
know? It is.
Because there's not really that many.
You bring in a guy who potentially plays better with Rudy Gobert. He stays your defensive anchor. That gives you flexibility to try and move Mike Conley to another team that's contending, see if you can get him a couple more rotational pieces back. You'll still have Bogdanovich, Royce O'Neal. Yeah, bring in Josh Hart to round out that wing rotation.
That, or you could push Mike Conley to the two.
That's a small bet. Which, I mean, Donovan Mitchell's only like 6'1", so yeah, that could work.
And see how Damian Lillard and Mike Conley play together. I know it's 2-point guards.
That moves Dame a little more off ball, lets him move into a scoring role, which might actually work a little better. I don't know. It's just something I've been thinking about for the past week or so. I thought I would throw it out there.
Yeah, that's definitely a hot take. The fact that I could see the Mavericks going farther into the playoffs and beating the Utah Jazz. Because Luka is back, and then you have guys like Jalen Brunson stepping up really big right now. But, like, that trade really threw me off. Not even that the trade itself, it's like not trading Rudy Gobert and then you trading Donovan Mitchell, which is, like, your star player.
I don't know if Utah ever wins a championship with Donovan Mitchell. I don't know if he's good enough. Like we...
Well, you heard it here, Jazz, if you're listening, which there's probably no chance you are.
Yeah, Danny Ainge. I mean, I loved you when you were running my team. Now it's time to take some of my advice.
So, if you're listening, this is what you should do from Murph's ideas. Yeah. If you agree, then do it. If you're like me and Nate.
Not the problem.
If you're like me and Nate and think this is crazy, then you probably won't do nothing. But, I mean, that is a hot take.
That is definitely a hot take. It really threw me off guard. The fact that you wouldn't get rid of Rudy Gobert is kind of crazy to me. But, really? I mean, at the same time, you don't know if he is a problem until you separate him out.
True. That's true.
All right, well, let's call it an episode there.
It was a really good first episode. Yeah, I'm excited to do more with you guys.
For sure, only up from here, fellas.
Exactly. No doubt.
All right, peace out.
See ya.
See ya.